Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what I just realized? Shoot, I'm so sorry, peeps, especially those of you who pay attention on our Facebook page. I just realized it's the Hump Show. And I did not put up our big orange post where you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So as soon as we get to the break from this first segment, I will do that on our Facebook page. It is on our show Twix or my Twix at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. If you haven't voted for your TD of the week, that poll is also still up and has a couple hours left to grab your votes. This is just a weird week. I can't really make excuses, just give you reasons, because we've got this construction project that's turned into a huge disaster in our backyard. And it's such a small room, too. I had no idea so many problems could manifest themselves, well, with shoddy construction for a 10-by-8 room. It's little bitty. Thankfully, we have washer and dryer again, but the room itself, even from the naked eye, and I am not a construction person, it's not my department, but I can see things that are wrong. So we've been dealing with that and just a couple other things that came up on Tuesday. And then producer Pete is not here, so Ryan's back with us. Thank you, Ryan, for stepping in. So for that reason, I have felt a little bit out of the typical routine, I suppose. It doesn't help when they're banging on things in the backyard and you're not sleeping as well either. But again, not excuses, just reasons for why this escaped my mind that it's the Hump Show. It is. It's the Hump Show. So Ryan's with us. Pete is hanging out with his family. He's got some kiddos to take care of, and he'll be back with us when he can. But you can find us on either of our social media sites. And I'll, as I say, I promise I'll throw up the Ask Amy box. It's like the Octo box from Red Zone, the Ask Amy box on our Facebook page as soon as I can get to it. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I am quite sure that as I start with what I believe is the marquee event of the night in sports, that many of you feel the same way. Since it was blowing up social media, no doubt it's going to be one of those games that produces some relatively solid ratings for the NBA, because we had the return of Klay Thompson to the Bay Area. Now, the court doesn't look anything like what he remembers from his 11 seasons playing over 13 years with Golden State, because they've got this new Emirates Cup, which is essentially the in-season tournament. And it's almost like the NBA is trying to teach us fans as though we're Pavlov's dog. This idea that when the courts look wacky, we should know it's the Champions Cup or NBA Cup, or I don't even know the official name. I think it's called the NBA Cup. It's wacky. It's a gimmick. And honestly, when you see, for instance, the Knicks and the Sixers play in Philadelphia, I swear it looks like the floor is superimposed. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. Just find a still photo or find a video online. Even just Google Knicks Sixers highlights. And it really does look like they're either walking on water because the floor is deep blue, or it's superimposed on the TV. The way that the first down marker, the yellow first down line in the NFL and college football, you know that's not on the field, right? It doesn't actually move with the chains. There's no actual line. There's no line on the field to get you into field goal range, the target line. None of that is on the field. No, they have to look at markers. We look at yellow lines. They look at markers on the sidelines, the players, when they're actually trying to get the first down. Same thing with the officials. So that's what these courts look like to me, especially the ones that have dark colors. It looks as though they're superimposed on our TV screen. Could you imagine if they did this in hockey and instead of a white surface or the ice over a white over a white playing surface, if they instead had blue or green or, I don't know, bright orange? Yeah, it looks like you're walking on water. So you're going to hear from Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green even. It was an emotional night. I heard Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network say that multiple times. This is an emotional night for everyone. And it started early. Check out my Twix at A-Law Radio if you haven't seen the video of Klay Thompson returning to the arena, Chase Center, in the Bay Area. There were, I'll even retweet it for you, there were hundreds of employees who lined the hallways to welcome him back, giving him a standing ovation. And if you didn't know, he's an avid boater. And so one of his nicknames was Captain Klay. And a lot of them had captain hats, like the kind you'd find on the Love Boat or on a yacht, something along those lines. So the hundreds of employees who work for the Warriors and work for the arena lined the hallways and they give him a standing ovation. So that's where the emotion started once he got in the building. And then as they get ready to tip off the game, and I expected that there would be a video tribute at some point in, say, the first quarter, because a lot of teams will do that. They'll welcome back one of their former players, and they'll do a video tribute at the first time out. But this is not anyone. This is Klay Thompson. This is the four-time champion with the Warriors. This is a former Splash Brother. This is a guy as ingrained with the Warriors' recent championship prowess in their recent championship run as any other player, along with Steph, along with Dre. That was the core. They did not win any of their titles without him. In fact, they were pretty awful the couple seasons that they did not have him. And so they played the video tribute beforehand. And if you haven't seen it, again, I encourage you to watch it. It's pretty emotional. It's got highlights of some of his best moments with the Warriors, including the 37-point quarter he had, which is an NBA record. As I was listening to the Warriors Radio Network, I heard them throwing highlights up from that moment. And it ended with this superimposed big lettering over different images of Klay. Thank you, number 11. Thank you, captain. Thank you, game six. Thank you, Klay. And then, right on the heels of that, they decided it was a good idea to reintroduce him to the rabid crowd.
A video tribute that says, thank you, Klay. Let's get his introduction.
Let's extend our captain hats to the four-time Warriors champion. He's back! Playing his 12th season out of Washington State University, number 31, Klay!
could let it play for the next 2 minutes because that's how long the standing ovation was. Clay got up. He was emotional. You could tell. He's waving to the crowd. He goes around and around a couple of times. So does a 360 a few times, waves to the crowd and gestures his appreciation. I believe it was his mom who was in the stands, who was teary as well. I got teary just watching this reunion. This wasn't one of those ones where the Warriors fans felt like Clay had ditched them, where a fan base felt like they got jilted by a guy who decided he'd be better off somewhere else. Heck no. This was all love. In fact, even as Clay got onto the court, so before they tip off, he has an embrace with Steph and an embrace with Dre. Both those guys, by the way, were part of the standing ovation as Clay was being introduced. I'm not sure if I've ever seen anything like it. They introduced him like he was still a member of the Warriors. It was that much emphasis and that much excitement and anticipation. So he gets the embraces from his former teammates before they tip off. And then, crazy enough, although we should have seen it coming, maybe Kyrie, but I can imagine Clay wanted to guard Steph because they're pretty familiar with each other. Duh. They are guarding each other. And Steph gets a strip steal off of Clay on one of the earliest possessions. So, yeah, this was kind of weird to see them going back and forth in that opening quarter.
Over to Clay Thompson, guarded by Steph Curry. Splash brother on splash brother. Clay goes up, a whistle, a foul. It's going to be on Steph for a reach-in. And Clay Thompson's going to shoot two.
Like, just like in the old times at the practice facility.
Yep.
Beautiful block by Gafford, saves it into Doncic, right to Thompson, catch and shoot three, hits it.
How many times have we seen that, and when he's wearing opposing colors of that running three in transition.
Left wing on the reversal, Gafford to Thompson again for three. And Steve Kerr takes the timeout, and this can't be going any better for Klay Thompson than it is right now.
First, you hear the Warriors Radio Network, Tim Roy, the play-by-play voice, and then Chuck Cooperstein, longtime voice of the Dallas Mavericks Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, Clay had four triples in the first half, and this was an odd game. Now, they both indicated how emotional it was, but it was an odd game in that the Mavericks had a 13-0 run. The Warriors had a 13-0 run. Then in the second half, the Dallas Mavericks have another 10-0 run. It was this wild swing, almost like a seesaw, back and forth between the two. And I know it's early in the year. These teams are all just getting to know each other. So, yeah, when the Warriors early on would defend between Steph and Clay, when they're defending Clay and Clay hits a couple of threes, they're okay with that. The Warriors fans, they're cheering Clay. They're glad he's back. But it got serious a little bit later in the game. So about 6 minutes to go, Clay hits first one triple and then another. These are his last two in the game. So a pair of threes in the fourth quarter that puts the Mavericks up by five. And they were, once again, they were in a really good spot. They had control, not a double-digit lead again, but there was enough time left. Kind of like when Patrick Mahomes gets the football and the Chiefs get the football with, say, 30 seconds to go. And you think, oh, man, that is way too much time for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Well, a couple of minutes left in this game, and it was way too much time for Steph Curry.
They rise as one at Chase Center. Curry with the ball on the far side. Gets Doncic off the screen. Goes away from the Draymond screen, dribbles in, floater on the rim, crawls over the front, and drop through. Timeout, Dallas. Stephen Curry's got his game face on. Screen by Wiggins. Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go.
Oh, that was the moment that set off not just a wild celebration from the fans at the Chase Center, but Steph Curry, a little bit emotional over that huge three. So, yeah, he hits it over the top of a much larger Derek Lively. It was a step back from straightaway, and it was a dagger. In fact, he delivered the night-night sign because That's his thing, you know. So earlier in the game, Klay Thompson imitated the shimmy. It didn't look quite as good as what Steph has perfected as the shimmy. But Steph definitely got the last shimmy. And as that three went down and timeout was called, the place erupts and he is yelling about being here and this is his house. And yeah, just completely crazy. Steph scores the final 12 points of the game for the Warriors. And I don't love the way the Mavericks finished. They were within three. They had an opportunity to tie the game. And they were, their last couple shots were not great. Klay missed a couple of threes. But then on their last possession, it was Luka Doncic, who was clearly going to go one-on-one. From the top of the key, it was this kind of step back, one-legged, it caromed off the glass. It was nowhere close. So not a good look for Luka Doncic. But Steph, it definitely is his house still. And he is, at this point now, the solo Splash Brother. But he can still hold court there in the Bay Area. It was just good to see Klay and Steph and Dre together again. And it's still jarring to see Klay Thompson in a Mavericks uniform. Even though the Mavericks lost by just a triple, Klay was overwhelmed by the reception he got in his return to the Bay Area.
It was a really cool experience. I appreciate the fans very much. The captain's hat ended up being a great touch. So I'm such a passionate boater, and saw a lot of familiar faces in the crowd. that was a warm-hearted feeling, so it was really cool to see the fans, their gratitude towards myself, and something I will never take for granted. So it was very, very awesome.
So plenty of interaction between him and Steph during the game, of course. Nothing nasty. It looked like it was just gamesmanship. So after Steph hit a three in his face. Maybe he took him into the hoop, but also hit a three at one point. He points at Klay, and then after Klay gets called for a foul and Steph is driving, Klay kind of acknowledges. And after Klay shimmies, Steph laughs on the bench or smiles. I don't think it was a full-blown laugh. So there was plenty of interaction between the two of them. As it turned out, they also communicated the night before the game.
It wasn't very long. It was a couple text messages, and it was a cool moment to feel the energy from the fans, and especially, you know, all the chatter that I heard. It was all positive, and it just means a lot to myself because I really enjoyed my time here.
But what about facing him? Steve Kerr told this story before the game where he was doing the scout and they were handing out scout at one of their film sessions. Handing out scout means you're letting your guys know who their defensive assignments will be. You're giving them the scouting report on the other team. And he said he gave Steph the scout for Klay. And Steph kind of laughed because, of course, who knows Klay Thompson better than Steph Curry? And I think it was at the first quarter break where Steph was interviewed by Ali LaForce on TNT, and she asked him about going one-on-one with Klay, and he said, yeah, it was just like those old training camp practices. But what about for Klay facing his old Splash Brother?
Well, it was fun to match up with Steph. I mean, we guarded each other plenty of times in practice with Team USA camps and All-Star games. So a real competitive NBA game. It was pretty surreal. But after a few minutes, it was just basketball.
We'll hear from Steph as well as Steve Kerr about the emotions of this night. I'm still wrapping my brain around it. I said when I first saw Klay Thompson in a Mavericks uniform that it was jarring and it was going to take some getting used to. I'm happy for him. He seems happy. He had a productive night. He has 22 points, going 6 of 12 from beyond the arc, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Now, Steph obviously had the last word, had the last laugh, had the final shimmy because he had 37. And the last 12 in a row for Golden State. But what a neat experience to have the fans there at Golden State put their rooting interest aside, uniforms are aside for at least the first half of basketball and welcome him back and give him all the love and appreciation that he deserves for the heart, the soul, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the injuries that he recovered from, the emotions that he poured into it in his 11 seasons in a Golden State uniform. Okay, I promise. Going to get that Facebook box up so you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. But you can also find it on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Our phone number 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
He hits both free throws, 120 to 117. Klay Thompson to Doncic, 10 seconds to go. Doncic down the left sideline in no hurry, spin dribble. Guarded by Wiggins, dribbles, shoots a contested three. It's up and no good. Rebound Melton, ball game over. The Warriors have won.
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's still true, even though he's wearing a different uniform now. The call there with Tim Roy on the Warriors Radio Network as Klay and the Dallas Mavericks fall in a tight one, a back-and-forth affair to the Warriors at Chase Center. So first game back for Klay Thompson as a member of the Mavericks after 13 years, 11 seasons in a Warriors uniform. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on here, the Infinity Sports Network, as well as on Facebook. I did just put up our box, so you can go find the Ask Amy box. It's there. Better late than never. At least that's what they say. So send your questions, and a couple hours from now, Ryan will have the honor of asking the questions, your questions, right, Ryan? It'll be such an honor.
Always an honor.
Always an honor. Also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours is where you can find it. Now, you heard a little bit from Klay about his return and the emotions of it. What about the emotions for Steph Curry, who, of course, shared a backcourt with Klay Thompson in four championships?
The emotions at the pregame of him, you know, being acknowledged and the crowd during two line layups going crazy for him, the video tribute. And I'm so surprised they ran a post up for him on the first play. I blacked out on that one. I wasn't going to let him score, and I fouled him. But it was a pretty special night all the way around. Obviously, we won. It was a great, great finish, but well done all the way around.
I was a little misty-eyed for sure. That was really cool. An amazing moment. Our crowd was great. Klay was great. You could see how much he enjoyed it. And beautiful, beautiful scene.
So the comments from Steve Kerr as well, that he got misty-eyed. I know I was emotional over it too, because I love what Klay and Steph and Dre and the Warriors did. They reminded me of why I ever fell in love with basketball in the first place. But because Klay's story is one that features two horrific injuries and 3 weeks away from returning after that torn ACL, and remember all the COVID bubble games, and he never returned for that. And the Warriors had such an awful season after he tore his ACL in the championship round, the finals against Toronto. That was 2019. So he tears his ACL in the finals. That was also, incidentally, the series in which Kevin Durant got hurt and had to sit out for another year plus. So Klay gets hurt then. He's about 3 weeks away from finally, and this is end of 21, tipping off again and getting back to basketball, which is truly his first love. And what does he do? He blows his Achilles in a full court game that he's playing in LA. And it was devastating for Klay, for his family, for Steph, for Steve Kerr. I remember hearing them both talk about how they got the call. They immediately flew to Los Angeles, and there were a lot of tears in realizing that Klay was going to miss another season. His story is one of depth. It's one of adversity. He hated sitting out. He talked about how brutal it was and how hard it was, but that he went through all of those lonely rehab sessions so that he could get back on the court, because that was what drove him. And then the Warriors beating the Celtics in the finals in 22. I mean, that was again, a more emotional experience for him because he wasn't sure he'd ever get back to the point at which he could play basketball the way that he used to. So his journey is not one of this meteoric rise and no depth to it. His is a human redemption story. And he said there are no hard feelings with the organization. He just didn't feel valued by the Warriors and wanted to go somewhere else. And he found that with the Mavericks. It's just weird. That's all. It's just weird. Now, Draymond Green, he was yelling because that's what he does. And afterwards, he told Clay, it got caught on mic, way to hoop, just keep going. And he actually admits that he was able to see that video earlier in the day. So maybe he was prepared.
Yeah, I just watched his tribute video earlier. Shout out to Double R. He was nice enough to let me see it. But I just didn't want to deal with those emotions, you know, because A, there's a love for Clay that ain't going nowhere. But B, in watching his reruns, we're all a part of that, you know. So then you start to go into the emotion. Oh, man, I remember that. Hey, man, on that playoff run, we had to do this to overcome this. And you start to go down those lanes. Let him have that. You watch it for the first time. You deal with those emotions. I had zero interest in dealing with him. And so that was a big thing for me. I just did not want the first time I saw his tribute video to be me standing there watching it.
That does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. As for Steph, he ends up with the emotions of a different sort, and he fires up the crowd with those final 12 points, the big drive to the hoop, and then the huge three over the top of Derek Lively with about 27 seconds to go. And it was a completely different mindset then. Forget the emotions. They're all in the past. In the fourth quarter, he's got game face on.
You bring Lively away from the paint and get to the basket, kick outs, or if I had, you know, pull-up threes, you kind of live with those shots. But it was just getting organized and trying to slow down on offense. Because when we get rushed, you kind of go into, you know, the teeth of the defense. You have no options. And for me, I was trying to stay out of those type of situations down the stretch.
Meanwhile, we had Clay delivering the Steph shimmy. How did that unfold?
It was an impromptu thing, but when you're feeling it, you do stuff instinctually. So I've done it before. I know Steph's done it many times, so it was fun. A little playful thing to do, and he was kind of surprised I did it, but it was a great shot, and I'll probably still do it in the future. It's I play my best brand of ball when I'm playing loose.
The emotions at the pregame of him, you know, being acknowledged, and the crowd during two line layups going crazy for him, the video tribute, and I'm so surprised they ran a post up for him on the first play. I blacked out on that one. I wasn't gonna let him score, and I fouled him. But it was a pretty special night all the way around. Obviously, we won. It was a great, great finish, but well done all the way around.
Steph, Clay, Dre, Steve Kerr, the core there, and there were lots of big hugs after the fact. Assistant coaches and former teammates, and Kyrie Irving. Also, I heard him talk about how they really wanted this to be a special night for Clay, really wanted it to be one in which he felt loved and felt appreciated. And bravo to you, Warriors fans, because you did yourself proud in welcoming back one who will always be a member of the family. I saw this tweet from Wayne at A-Law Radio. Great game. Lots of love for Clay. Steph was Steph in the fourth quarter. Classy tribute to Clay by the Warriors, but strange to see him in a Dallas uniform. We Warriors fans will always love Clay. Oh, for sure. That's an odd chapter. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know if I ever really came up with a show question, or I was just kind of thinking about divorces in professional sports and how some are acrimonious, of course, because some come down to money, players not feeling appreciated, teams or organizations choosing their bottom line, not being loyal. And we know loyalty is really a figment of our imagination in sports. We as fans are loyal. It's a business, though, for the athletes and the teams. And unfortunately, a lot of times these decisions come down to business and come down to the financials. And that doesn't always coincide with how we feel about a player, how we feel about wanting a guy to finish his career in a particular uniform. This one, though, as much as Clay needed to get out of Golden State, out of the Bay Area, if you remember what Steph said after he signed with the Mavericks, is that he just wanted him to be happy. He just wanted him to find some contentment and some love in playing the game again. And what we had heard from different basketball insiders is that, yeah, Clay was pretty unhappy the last year, feeling undervalued, feeling underappreciated. Remember, he got benched last year and was coming off the bench instead for Steve Kerr, though ultimately he did end up back in the starting lineup. Big picture, by the way, this is quite a start for the Warriors. And I heard a soundbite, and I think this goes back to earlier in the season, maybe even preseason, where Steve Kerr was asked about the goals for the Warriors. And he laid them all out. And among the goals were to make the playoffs, to have a deep run, to win the West, and to hoist another trophy. And he believes all of those are within the grasp of the Warriors. And it's interesting because I think if you asked a lot of people before the season, they would say, while Steph Curry's window has not closed, the Warriors' window has closed because they don't have the same pieces. Now, you watch them play, and if they can get the type of production that they're getting right now from Andrew Wiggins, who, remember, he was away from the team for quite a stretch last year. If they can get the production from some of the younger guys, like Jonathan Kuminga, who is coming off the bench currently, but it's a matter of, hey, it's so early. Can Trayce Jackson-Davis continue to be a force in the middle? And they don't really love what they've seen so far. So this is, I tell you, I was listening to Warriors radio. So far, it's been a slow start for Brandon Bajemski. Remember, he was such a big piece of what they did last year, and they were feeling really good about him. So I don't know. I think Marco Belletti's here with us in studio. I think the general rule or the general idea about the Warriors is that if their window is still open, they're at the very end of it because Steph is the engine that makes them go. And now here they started 9-2. They've got some big wins like Boston on the road, beating the Mavericks tonight. They've got one of the best records in the NBA. Now, is it sustainable over the course of 82 games? Well, if Steph is not healthy, it isn't. But right now, they seem to have a good formula, at least out of the gates.
Yeah, they do. And I think the only question that doesn't need answering is Steph Curry. So, I mean, him, I'm not surprised. None of that. If you tell me that everybody else is playing really well and Steph is there, then yeah, of course. I find it difficult to believe that everybody else is going to be able to pull their weight, including a guy like Draymond Green, who they still asked to be such a glue and big part of this team. Can he sustain this through an entire season into another run? It strikes me as very difficult to be able to pull that off. Can Curry pull one off? Sure. Can the rest of the guys follow suit? No, not in my mind. I don't buy it. Hell of a nice start. No, I don't see them as a serious, true contender. No.
Right now, Phoenix, Oklahoma City, Golden State are tops in the West with a 9-2 mark. And Kevin Durant's out for a few weeks, so we'll see what happens with the Suns. Then you've got the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, who are all sitting at 7 wins. Way down there, the Mavericks, and no one's talking about playoff position right now, but they are on the outside of the top 10, they're sitting at 5-6. So one other challenge, it's not just whether or not the Warriors can keep their momentum, but also if Steph stays healthy, can Draymond carry his weight, the young guys we were talking about, it's also about the rest of the West because it is a beast,
The West is loaded, and part of this, too, is to be able to make sure that you've got enough legs to get you through 82, but not put yourself in a position like the Lakers every year where you're in the play-in game and you got to go through the most difficult
road
get to the conference finals.
A couple of times.
You can't do that. It's not sustainable. You can do it every once in a while. You can make a run. You can get your legs under you. Hey, don't worry about it. We're playoff tested. You take the most difficult road each and every season and you get older, I'm sorry, you're going to get knocked off. That's what happens. That's that's the nature of this beast, and that's part of what these teams that have older players that have been through the gauntlet, they got to make sure that they get through the 82 in a decent position. It's no longer as simple as just get in, because now in the play-in tournament, you really got to do some heavy lifting, plus then you got to turn around and face what? The Thunder in the first round? Or you got to turn around and face, I mean, you can't do this every year
right,
and have all of a sudden expect to get well facing the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. Good luck.
Coming up, Joel Embiid makes his NBA debut. I wonder why he was tired and not fully conditioned. Huh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. The post is up on our Facebook page now, as well as online at Amy After Hours. Here's our latest sports update.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Feathers belting into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week.
Cordero Patterson has checked into the game. He is to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Three receivers split to the right. One prior move to the left. Jefferson motions close to Pickens. Still split out on the right side. Russell Wilson again changing the play. Touching his helmet. Now lifts up the leg. Gets the snap. Looking to the right. He's going to loft towards the corner of the end zone. And Pickens, oh my goodness, what a catch by George Pickens. An amazing catch in the back of the end zone.
First and goal on the 9. Connor is flexed out wide to the right with Harrison in the slot right and Dortch in the backfield with Murray, who's in shotgun. Snap to Murray. Drop straight back. A fade right corner of the end zone. Harrison. Oh, what a catch with one hand for a touchdown. Marvin Harrison Jr. hauls it in with his right arm. Just a gorgeous drop in the bucket by Murray.
As it's first and 10 from the Colts 13. Three receivers to the right. Johnson flared out to the left in the backfield. Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Mason stays in. Here's Purdy on a 2nd and 5. Throws over the middle. Wide open. Ricky Pearsall's got the catch. 20, 15, 10, 5. Pearsall all the way to the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco!
So happy for Ricky Pearsall. Over the middle on a crossing route slash post route. The ball's a little high. Brock Purdy put it right on him. He jumps up and got it and then just outran Antoine Winfield.
Our voice got jumped the gun a little bit. He decided that he was going to tell you which TD should be the touchdown of the week, but he's wrong because we've still got a couple hours to go in our voting. So those are your four candidates. On the Bills Radio Network, Josh Allen rumbling through traffic. You want to talk about a beast. Nobody wants to tackle him when he's trying to go full speed and into the end zone. Chris Brown on Bills Radio. On the Steelers radio network, George Pickens, a twisting, diving grab in the corner of the end zone on a ball perfectly placed by one Russell Wilson. Arizona, Dave Pasch with the call of Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr., the sixth TD for the rookie. And yeah, one of those moments where he gets the separation and goes up and gets the ball because that's what he can do. He's so talented. And finally, an emotional moment and certainly significant for the Niners. Ricky Pearsall, their rookie wide receiver, with his first touchdown in his pro career. Not even 2 months after he was shot in the chest and had to recover from that both physically and emotionally. Greg Papa on Niners Radio. You can still vote at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, as well as on our Facebook page. And I did put up a post. I don't know if better late than never works here, but I did put up the Ask Amy box on our Facebook page, so you can find it there. And in a couple hours, we'll be doing the Ask Amy feature that has been running now, let's see, 11 years on the show, since going back to before I was doing the 5 week nights. Instead, I was doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and we created it to give us a little juice on our Saturday overnight. And it's withstood the test of time. 855-212-4227. By the way, even as we're mentioning the Steelers and their first place in the AFC North right now, they've got one of the best records in football, Steelers and Ravens this weekend. Wait until you hear what Mike Williams had to say about showing up with Pittsburgh, getting to work, and then, boom, catching the winning touchdown, what, days after he's traded from the New York Jets. So he was a guest on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and we managed to grab that, and it was interesting to hear his perspective on the story. And yeah, it's Steelers-Ravens week. No doubt that'll be one of our candidates for After Hours Game of the Week when we get there. But as I just said, better late than never. I don't know if better late than never applies to Joel Embiid making his season debut. He definitely is needed because the Sixers are now 2-8 after falling to the Knicks on this Tuesday night, and it was a double figure loss. As for Embiid himself, well, he looked slow and tired. I don't want to say out of shape necessarily, but not in basketball shape. He's already been suspended a couple of games by the NBA for shoving a member of the media. And we know the Sixers got fined for their comments relating to the way he would start the season, that they were managing his knee, right? So an interesting way of rephrasing load management. But to not start the season after you played in the Olympics and won a gold with Team USA, suspect. It's sus, as the cool kids say. Right, Ryan? Do the cool kids say that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Ryan's the resident cool kid. Well, what about Joel's return? There were times when you could see he wasn't able to fully get up and down the court. That was obvious. And against the Knicks, who have a full complement of players. Meanwhile, the Sixers, Paul George has just come back. They're without Tyrese Maxey now, and Embiid is playing in his first game. He gets limited in terms of minutes, 26 minutes. I'll give him this. He goes 8-for-8 from the free throw line, but just 2-for-11 on his jump shots. He has 5 assists and 3 rebounds to go along with his 13 points. And yeah, he was, I don't want to say he was dogging it. That's not fair. It wasn't mentally, just not quite where he needs to be.
Extremely rusty, you know, that's expected. So, you know, thought overall, you know, felt pretty good, you know, health-wise. I think it's just by trusting myself. I thought I was a little timid, so I stuck with a lot of jumpers just to get myself a little comfortable. Yeah, but as the game goes, I'm sure, you know, just getting back to myself is going to be easier.
So he did have some impact, and part of that is you have to game plan for him. Even when he's not himself and he's not in the right conditioning yet, he'll get there. Even though he's unable to play a full game right now, A, he still a huge dude. B, he's still got the skills to be able to shoot or to get the hoop. He can run the court when he's in good health. But also, defenses still have to game plan for him. Even if he's out there as a decoy, you can't ignore Joel Embiid. So that's a boost for the Sixers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.